We live in an exercise kind of enthusiastic world today. Everybody has to jog or to race or to run. I like the idea of let's walk. It's not that the other's not important, doesn't have benefits to it, but the Bible talks about walking in a lot of ways in a spiritual context, and that's what I want to talk to you about this morning. I ask the question, are you walking? I must tell you, whenever I go to the doctor and they ask me, are you getting exercise, are you walking, that always is a hard question for me to answer because the answer really is no, not much. And of course, they want to say that how are you going to stay healthy if you don't exercise? That's the exact question we're asking from a spiritual perspective today. Are you walking spiritually in the way that God would have you to walk? And when we're talking about walking from a biblical standpoint, we're talking about a spiritual journey or a life in which we're walking. Are we walking this path? Are we walking this way? Last Christmas, I asked my wife for a watch that would keep up with my steps. And I look and it tells me if I'm not moving, the watch says you need to move. And then sometimes it'll say you're supposed to take 5,000 steps today and you've taken 100. If we had a spiritual pedometer that says, this is as much time as you spend in prayer. This is as much time as you spend in reading the Word. This is as much time as you spend in worship. This is as much time you spend in Christian service. Would it say that you've reached your goal? Because on a couple of occasions, I've reached the goal, and it plays a little noise for me. The noise I want to hear at the end is, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your Lord. That's what we're attempting to do. And so I want to ask you, are you walking? Paul said in Romans chapter 6 and verse 4, New King James Translation, therefore we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. The Christian walk is different from the walk that everybody else has, is different from the life that everybody else has. We were raised for a purpose to live a life that gives glory to God. We were raised to walk with a purpose. We're to walk in a new way of living. And so that's what I want us to look at and think about this morning as we discuss this topic. Let me suggest that one passage I looked at asks the question, are you walking in the light? We sing a song to that effect that says, walking in the light, walking in the light. And it's a biblical concept when you begin to look at it in 1 John chapter 1. John writes, by inspiration of the inspired Spirit, inspired by the Spirit of God, if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And behold, the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all unrighteousness. The imperative there, or the requirement is, are you walking in the light? If you walk in the light, you receive the blessing. If you don't walk in the light, you don't receive the blessing. The light is going to be the love and the teaching of Jesus Christ, God. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. And the psalmist said in Psalm 56 and verse 13, for you have delivered my soul from death, you have not kept my feet from falling, that I may walk before God in the light of the living. God wants us to live a life that brings glory and honor to Him. Are you walking in the light? Paul says that bodily exercise is profitable for little, but that we need to exercise unto godliness, and that's the kind of walking we're talking about this morning. Am I walking in the light the way that Jesus encourages me to? In fact, the psalmist said in Psalm 89 and verse 15, blessed are all the people who know the joyful sound. They walk, O Lord, in the light of your countenance. The verse suggests that we will know the joy of the song of God when we walk in the light of His countenance, of His presence, of His being. Is Jesus a part of your life or is He not a part of your life? Are you walking in a way that is directed by His Word and by His Spirit? Are you walking in the countenance of His light? Isaiah talked to the house of Israel and said, O house of Jacob, let us walk in the light of the Lord. You see, this is the command, this is the direction, this is the way to become spiritually healthy is to walk in the light. And if you don't know Jesus, you're not walking in the light. If you're not living for Jesus, you're not walking in the light. Paul said in the Ephesian letter, in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 8, for you were once in darkness, that is when you were in sin, but now you are the light of the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is goodness and righteousness and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. He says not only to walk in light, he says you are the children of light, which indicates that our Father is the light, does it not? So if walk is talking about our life journey, if life is talking about the path that we follow, are we walking in the path that's been lit by God Himself and through His Son, Jesus Christ? Paul said that we should be walking as the children of light. I don't know if you've ever had the experience of walking in the dark. If you walk in the dark, things are much more frightening. And you can lose your way. And you can run into obstacles. The darkness in the spiritual sense is what Satan offers you. And there are a lot of people who get detoured. There are a lot of people who follow his path, who follow his leading. Jesus said that we should walk in the light, that he is the light. And in him, there is no darkness at all. But let me suggest that, you know, sometimes we don't walk the same path every time. There's more to walking than just walking in the light, biblically. For he says that we should walk in love. We ought to follow that path of walking in love. And in fact, if you'll turn to 1 Corinthians 16 and verse 14, Paul says, let all that you do be done with love. Everything you do ought to be done with love. Ephesians chapter 4 and verses 1 and 2, Paul goes on to say, walk worthy of the calling which you were called, with lowliness, with gentleness, long-suffering, bearing with one another in love. Your walk ought to be bearing with each other in love. We need to let love answer what the head can't sometimes, the heart must. And it's with Christian love. In fact, he goes on to say in verse 15 of chapter 4 that we need to be speaking the truth in love. The gospel, in a word, is love, one song says. And so I want you to look at the path that you're taking. Your interaction with your family, your interaction with the people you work with, the interaction with the people that live on your street, your interaction with the people in God's church in this very building itself, is it a walk of love or not? And if it's not, why not? Because it's what we're instructed to do. We're to bear with one another in love. We're to speak the truth in love. Ephesians 5 verses 1 and 2 says, therefore be imitators of God as dear children and walk in love as Christ also loved us and has given himself for us, offering a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling aroma. By the way, if you want to know about the sweet smelling aroma, come back tonight because that's what we're talking about tonight. But the idea is, are we walking in love? Paul also wrote the church at Colossae in Colossians chapter 3. And it's the same idea. We're walking in love. We're living in love. Well, that is the reflection of our life. And he says, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, here's some characteristics of your life. Put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, forgiving one another if anyone has a complaint against another. Even if Christ loved you, even as Christ forgave you, so you must also do. Verse 14, this one is the one to underline. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. And so as we walk in our path that's assigned to us, it's a path that needs to be lit with the light from above, and it needs to be a path that's directed by love. We need to be walking in love. Peter said it this way in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 8. He says, above all things, have fervent love one for another, for love will cover a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without grumbling. Boy, are there people who need that verse. Maybe you've run into some of them. Maybe sometime we've been some of them. But we're supposed to be directed as people who love. And then John, who was the apostle of love in 1 John chapter 3, says, for this is the message you've heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Not as Cain, who was wicked, the wicked one, and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his works were evil and his brothers were righteous. We should love one another. But there's another path that we must walk, and that's to walk in the Spirit. There is a spiritual part of every one of us. And we need to follow that direction and we need to follow that leading. In fact, Paul said in Romans chapter 8, and we're going to read several verses from Romans 8, and you may want to go ahead and turn over there. He starts off by saying, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ, who do not walk according to the flesh, but walk according to the Spirit. This world is walking according to the flesh. God's people walk according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life is in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. It's a different way of living. It is a spiritual concern. This world, as I've said before, is not my home. We need to be looking at a heavenly home. If you'll drop down to verse 4, he says, the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but who walk according to the Spirit. You see, the law had to do with sin, but if we're walking spiritually, we're following the leading of the Spirit, Holy Spirit of God. We're walking according to His will, according to His work for us to do. He says, for those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit on the things of the Spirit. How much of every day, of every week, of every moment of your life do you spend on the spiritual versus the worldly? That's a discipline that has to take place. That's something that you need to be responsible for and that I need to be responsible for. And the way to do that is to be more involved in Christ in our everyday life. It's not just a Sunday morning check-in. It's not a Wednesday night class for 45 minutes. It is a way of life. It is a commitment. It is who I believe and what I believe in. Verse 12, he goes on to say, therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. But if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. If we want to be the children of the Spirit, we have to walk according to the Spirit. In Galatians 5 and verse 25, Paul said, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. We've already talked about the walking is not just the aspect of one foot in front of the other. It's where you're going. It is your life. It is your journey. If we live in the Spirit, the verse implies that we will walk in the Spirit. Conversely, if we do not live in the Spirit, we will not walk in the Spirit. We are not spiritual, there presents itself a problem. 1 Corinthians 3, Paul goes on to say, and I, brethren, could not speak unto you as spiritual people, but as to carnal, as babes into Christ. Paul said, I want to talk about spiritual things, but you're too worldly minded. That's what carnal means, too worldly minded, to even understand the things of the Spirit. I want to talk to you about deeper spiritual things, he said, but you're not walking that spiritual path. It's easy to get lost in the cares of this world. The parable of the sower teaches us that. You see, I believe it's a concrete mindset to walk in the Spirit. But let me suggest one, and to be honest with you, I had to find a stopping place because the Bible has so many walks it talks about. We have to walk in the truth. Jesus said in John chapter 17, thy word is truth, when he was praying to the Father. We have to walk in truth in every sense of the word. Do we have to walk in the truth of God's word? We have to be honest and above board. We have to be truthful in what we say and what we do. In 2 John verse 4 of the only chapter of this little letter, John is writing and he says, I rejoice greatly that I found some of your children walking in truth. No doubt you can identify with this in different places in your life when you see your children, your grandchildren, your nieces and nephews doing the right thing, showing honor in who they are and what they do and the choices they make, standing up for right in a time when nobody else will, refusing to participate in sin when others are. So Paul wrote the elect lady and he said, I rejoice greatly because I found that some of your children are walking according to truth, the truth of God's word. The proverb writer said in chapter 23 and verse 23, buy the truth and sell it not. Also wisdom and instruction and understanding. The wise king was saying that you have to start from a foundation of truth. If you want to have something that's going to last, if you want a life that matters, it's got to start on the basis of truth. The truth of God, the truth of your behavior, of your mind, of your consistency with the Word of God. John 3 and verse 21 says, he who does the truth comes to the light that his deeds may be clearly seen that they have been done in God. If you're doing right, you've got nothing to hide. Walk in the light. because it's the only hope that the world has. Probably one of the most familiar verses for most of us is found in John 8 and 32. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Truth is a quality that we need in quantity. Truth, when it comes to the Word of God, will make a difference in your life and in your eternity. And I believe in this world. It's Jesus who's speaking in John 14 and verse 6 when he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father but by me. Jesus said, if you want to walk the path of truth, you walk with me because I am the truth. And then again in 1 Peter 1 and verse 22 and verse 23, Peter's very specific when he says, since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the spirit and sincere love of the brethren, love one another with a pure heart fervently. Having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, through the word of God, which lives and abides forever. Your walk needs to be a walk in truth that leads to the purifying of your souls. And that happens when your sins are washed away. So let me ask the question, are you walking in the light, in love and truth? Are you walking on the wrong path? Because truly there's no reason for anybody here not to get on the right path and to walk in the paths that God has set out for us. Perhaps we'll visit this lesson again and bring up some of the other walks that the Bible talks about, because the Bible is filled about how your life ought to be and where you ought to be headed and what path you ought to be on. But if you're not walking in Christ, you're on the wrong path. And if you've never become a Christian, why not this morning make that decision to be born again and to be raised to walk in newness of life, to live that path? And if you've fallen away and you're not faithful, why not get back on the path and live right and become right with God? If we can help you anyway, won't you come while we stand and while we sing?